Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning for our biweekly Monday morning producer power call. We have a lot to cover. It's been a few weeks since we've had the call due to some holidays, so we're going to jump right in with Scott Harris. Scott?
Thank you, Tia, and good morning to everybody. Hope all is everybody is enjoying the summer months and certainly taking advantage of taking some time off with family and maybe leaving a little bit from business. Regardless of the situation, I know that in our industry, typically things slow down a little bit. There's still a great opportunity out there to help your clients, to serve them, and to let them know what's going on in the economy, particularly since so much is happening during the summer months regarding Europe and what's happening here domestically. I'm going to go over a lot today, a lot of information regarding the markets, the job situation here in this country, a couple new ideas that are starting to come to light now on the equity side because of more and more people are interested in preserving capital, so I wanted to bring those to your attention. And also some information from Bill Gross. He came out with an article a couple of days ago that I think was very enlightening, and it's something that you may want to share with your clients, particularly those who are a little bit more prone to want to get involved with the equities market. On Friday, the Dow's closed over 13,000. In fact, it had been up over 13,000 for a few trading sessions. It ended up at 13,096. It was up 217 points for the day. It did go up 1.7% just for the day. And, of course, other indexes were up likewise. S&P was up 1.9% for the day. The NASDAQ was up 2% for the day. So, once again, we're on about three-month highs now with these various sectors. Why did the market go up? It was that unemployment number. The U.S. economy added 163,000 jobs in the month of July, so everybody rejoiced because the last 3 months we had sub 100,000 jobs that were created over the last 3 months. But, you know, you have to really take a look behind the curtain for these numbers that were just released. You know, the jobless rate still went up. It went up from 8.2 up to 8.3%. So I know the jobless rate has continuing to have problems here in this country. It looks like more workers left the labor market than entered it, and that kind of reflects that a lot of people looking for jobs are really just growing discouraged, and they're stopping to even look for a job. And I think a lot of it has to do with the government providing a security blanket for a lot of people. They just as soon collect a check, sit on the couch and watch the Olympics than go out and try to find a job. Also, a couple things, too. The automobile industry ramped up a little bit this past summer because of the demand for automobiles, so that ended up having the positive effect on the job numbers there. So, but you really, once again, have to take a look-see behind the scenes as far as what these numbers truly mean and, of course, the big picture of what's happening in our economy. Also, we saw Congress leave town. I believe they're going to be closed for about 5 weeks now. They're going to be they're leaving town just about a year after the U.S. debt was downgraded. I don't know if you remember that last year during the summer months. So we kind of marked that anniversary of them taking a vacation. We also see them taking a vacation when there's no discussion or no talk or no solution to the fiscal cliff that we're going to be falling off of at the end of the year. So they've got a lot to do here, and there's going to be a lot of time, a lot of wrangling spent going over this fiscal cliff. But again, we're in election year too, so their sights are not going to be as focused on that fiscal cliff as they should be. We're also seeing, once again, and we've talked about this in past power calls, Europe's troubles continue to be spilling over the rest of the world. If you take a look, in fact, at the unemployment rate in the Eurozone, this is really amazing to me. You know, the Eurozone has 17 nations in it. Their unemployment rate is 11.2%. 11.2%. You know, we're a little over 8. They're at 11.2. So that's pretty amazing. And if you take a look at Spain alone, I know we've talked about before, but Spain has depression-like numbers. The Spain, their unemployment rate is almost at 25%. So that's, you know, you try to find a job in Spain, forget it. You're not going to find one. You take a look at how other economies are growing over there. The UK, in fact, is projected to have a 1.3% increase in their GDP next year. So you're seeing the groundwork being laid for more and more of a global slowdown. That's going to affect what's happening here domestically because, once again, we sell our goods and services overseas. And if we have not as much demand for them, it's going to affect how our corporations react financially. We also see this huge drought that's going through the Midwest. It's going to be pushing up food prices. If you're paying more for food, that means less money to spend on other things. Also, higher price for corn. Remember, up north, they use about 10% of their gasoline, the ethanol in their gasoline, so it is a good chance that gas prices could go up, too, because of this higher price for the corn because of the drought. So if you take a look at these job numbers that we just discussed, the 166,000 that were created, if you take a look at those numbers, 163,000 that were created, if you take a look at those numbers, it's going to take our economy 8 years to get back to full employment. So it kind of gives you a little bit of perspective. You know, everybody jumped for joy. The market took off and ran on Friday. But yet, if you take a look at those numbers, if we got 163,000 jobs month in and month out for the next 8 years, we would finally get back to full employment. So just, again, keep things in perspective when you talk a little bit about these numbers on unemployment and how good they look. Okay, I want to discuss a few things here that some of producers have brought up. And there's obviously some alternate investments that are coming up. You know, Wall Street's not dumb, although they are greedy and oftentimes they make a lot of foolish mistakes. But they're realizing that people want something that's got some safety into it. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we've had this nice run with the popularity of index annuities. People want protection. They want to have some semblance of a safety net underneath their investments. They also want to get a reasonably good yield. And so now what's happening is a lot of equity companies are beginning to design products that have some degree of so-called safety with them, and I won't even use the word safe particularly if you're going to be talking about an equity, but I want you to know about these because you're going to have your clients ask about them. They're going to want to know what's going on, and you need to find out, you need to know more about them, how they act and what they are, so that when, again, if you get asked that question about them, you're going to know the answers. Now, one of the things that has come to light are these new ETFs, and for those who don't know what that acronym is, it's electronically traded funds. They're a basket of stocks. Generally speaking, these type of ETFs, they're called low volatility ETFs, and they're a basket of stocks that have proven track records of low volatility. They move less than less erratically than the broader markets like the S&P or the Dow. So what ends up happening is these fund managers go out there and they acquire these stocks, normally about 100 of them in a basket, and they are typically higher dividend producing, and they also lower volatility type of stocks. There's currently six of them. Okay, there's six of them that are out there right now. You need to do a little research. I'm not going to mention the names. You need to do a little research. Just Google ETFs and low volatility ETFs, and you'll know what the names are and the like. But they have drawn in year to date about $1.7 billion. Okay, $1.7 billion. And if you compare that year-to-date with equity funds, $9 billion has flown out of equity mutual funds this year. So they've taken in $1.7 billion, whereas the equity mutual funds have lost $9 billion. Okay, so just give you an idea. People are looking for more safety. People are tired of what's going on in the market. They're tired of the volatility, and they also realize that they need to have some safe money, and this is one of the solutions that you're going to be asked about by some of your clients. Another thing that just popped up is the Treasury Department recently announced that they're going to be offering floating rate securities called floaters. Okay, what's a floater? A floater is a Treasury security that's going to be interest rate sensitive. And by that meaning that they're going to be using they haven't figured out which index they're going to look at, but they will use some type of a fixed bond index. And what it will do is it probably is going to adjust quarterly. They haven't come out with specifics yet. They'll probably adjust quarterly, and that means that if, let's say, interest rates go up, you know, an eighth of a point or whatever over that quarter, you're going to get a higher interest rate on that Treasury security. The maturities are looking at potentially being up to 2 years long as far as the maturity goes, 2 years out is the farthest they're going to go. And they're looking at rolling this out probably within the next 12 months or so. So they are calling them floaters. So once again, your clients are going to be asking about what's happening with these particular treasury securities. Just make sure that you know about them. You may or may not want to sell them, but if you can, if you got a securities license, but be aware of them. You know, these are some of the things that are coming out, and you're going to see more and more of this as reactions to what the baby boomers are going to want in their retirement. You know, we know that that's the sweet spot of the marketplace. It's not necessarily the old retirees. They oftentimes have problems with the products that we sell. But the baby boomers, they're the sweet spot, the wheelhouse for the index annuity. So make sure you're obviously working with that that clientele. They make the best sense for these type of products. Okay, a couple things more I wanted to bring up to you. Late July, what happened after 142 years? The open outcry commodities market in New York, featured in the movie Trading Places, is no more. Wanted to bring this to your attention because what's happening in the securities industry is that the computer is taking over trading, okay? And this is what's leading to a lot of volatility, a lot of inefficiencies. One of the reasons why we're seeing this big market run up despite all the problems that this world is having. So remember that in the trading places that options board, the New York Board of Trade, where they were trading in orange juice futures, that futures option market trades in cocoa, coffee, cotton, sugar, and then, as I said earlier, of course, the orange juice futures. What happens is, as of October 22nd, all options listed on ICE, they call it the ICE futures, will no longer be traded by verbiage. It's all going to be through electronic trading system. So what we're seeing now is basically a real push towards just trading through the computer, trading and eliminating the individual as far as doing any types of buy or selling. So we see the writing on the wall here. I just talked to a floor trader from New York last week, and he said it's really ridiculous, not only that particular commodities futures market, but others. He said it's very, very difficult to do any trading because computers are acting so quickly, it's hard to get ahead or behind a position and make any money. And that's one of the reasons why, again, we're seeing such high volatility, why we're seeing the market roll up without having a lot behind it as far as economic data. Okay, lastly, great article from Bill Gross. Those of you who aren't following Bill Gross, Steve and I love to follow him because we know that he really has a good pulse on what's going on in the world today, particularly the bond market and obviously also the stock market. His Vanguard fund, so to speak, is PIMCO Total Return. That's his baby, and it did do exceptionally well when he had the credit meltdown in 2008. And he's up significantly over year-to-date this year, too. But in his recent commentary, and I encourage you, just Google his name. You can pull up a lot of his past articles or go to the PIMCO website. A lot of great stuff on him. But I just want to give you a few words from his most recent commentary, which I think were quite eye-opening. He says that stock investors should rethink the age-old investing mantra of buying and holding stocks for the long run. So he's going really against the grain of what most of Wall Street has to say. He says consistent annual returns from stocks are a thing of the past. He said, the cult of equity is dying, Mr. Gross wrote on Tuesday in his Investment Outlook column. Like a once bright green aspen turning to subtle shades of yellow, then red in the Colorado fall, investors' impressions of stocks in the long run, or any run, have mellowed as well. He must have been doing some yoga, I think, when he wrote that one. But regardless, you kind of get the point. Stocks, he says, operate much like a Ponzi scheme, showing returns that have no real bearing on reality. Wow. This is coming from Bill Gross. Gross points out stocks have averaged 6.6% annual gain on an inflation-adjusted basis since 1912. So that's something to think about. But he labels that rate of return as a historical freak that isn't likely to be duplicated soon due to slowing economic growth around the globe. He says that return has belied a commensal flaw, much like that of a chain letter or, yes, a Ponzi scheme. His point, economic growth ran at about 3.5% over that time, meaning stockholders were skimming 3% off the top each and every year. So realistically, logically, it makes a lot of sense what he's saying here. He's saying, look, these robust stock market years was when the economy was growing an average of about 3.5% a year. Well, what's going on right now in the stock market? We're lucky to get 2% for the year. So he says, how in the world can we make any money in the stock market with all the slower growth and also with what's happening with all these computer tradings? Because once again, there's no resemblance as far as what these stocks are valued at and what the true intrinsic value is based on economic activity. So he said that bottom line is that it says it can't absent, the market can't go up absent a productivity miracle that resembles Apple's wizardry. So in essence, he's saying, folks, the market, forget it. It's not going to do much.